All right, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our Bible study on this wonderful evening. We hope and pray everybody's doing well out there in internet land. Amen. We're excited about tonight's Bible study as we enter into a special time of year as we're getting closer and closer to Resurrection Sunday. And really, the next 2 weeks is just an awesome time. If you plant yourself in the Bible and begin to try to live it out, and just imagine what was going on during that time frame around this time of year. When Christ was about to be crucified and after the resurrection as well, just that whole 2 months period, I would call it, because even the ascension included in that. But just really, really an exciting time, really exciting time here, even the year we're in now. And so we're just so thankful to Almighty God for his goodness, his grace, and really all that he's doing. And again, we encourage you. But that being said, we encourage you, come with us this weekend. This weekend we have a Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, come ready to praise the Lord and really just give God glory for who he is. He's the King of Kings and King of Glory. So we encourage you to come, bring your family, your friends, and over the next few weeks, don't miss a service. Don't miss anything, because, again, God is really going to be moving this mighty, mighty way. And so invite your friends, your family, your loved ones, amen, to the house of the Lord. Again, throughout the weekend, it really starts this Thursday night. Come on out, be with us Thursday night at 7:30, 334 Ashford Street. We look forward to seeing you there. Come on now, let's pack it out even on a Thursday night. Let's come and have a good time in the Lord. And then again, as we mentioned, this weekend and then the following weekend is the Resurrection Sunday. So come be with us, come and celebrate and worship God and get closer to God and just come expect and believe in God to do great and mighty things. And so tonight we was thinking about, Lord, lady, put our hearts to cover the Palm Sunday, what it's all about, and really to narrow it down even more, to focus on a word we call Hosanna, So take a few minutes here to share the page out with your friends, your loved ones, that maybe perhaps they don't know and they need to know. They need to know, again, what is the meaning of all of this? What is the meaning of this time of year? You have loved ones that are lost. You have friends that are lost, that have walked away from Christ. Bring them in. That's why we encourage you to share these videos out. Share them out with your friends and loved ones. Oftentimes, some of you are on my WhatsApp list and the Facebook and social media. Get the word out there. Again, this is some of the most important news, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we encourage you to tell your friends and families. Come on in and join us on the YouTube channel. Hit thumbs up. And on the Facebook side, share it out. Share your page out. Share out the word tonight. All right. So Hosanna, Hosanna. You may have heard it. You've probably read it. If you have not heard it, I will endeavor to explain it to you. And if you have said it but not really know what it meant, wonder what the people were crying out about. We'll try to explain it tonight. But as we said before, it's an important season that we're in. It was an important season. It was really leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And this particular subject we're going to cover tonight was when Jesus, what we call the triumphant entry, where he entered in on a colt. We'll read it in a second here. And the Bible prophesied about it way back in the Old Testament, how Jesus would enter into the city. And it was really an awesome, awesome time. It was what we call the triumphant entry. It's almost like rolling out the red carpet. Rolling out the red carpet for some celebrity or something like that. But he was greater than any celebrity, any rock star, any musician, any actor, any politician, Jesus, who they were celebrating and really crying out to. And so it was really a parade or like a fanfare throughout the city, entering into the city of Jerusalem there. And we shared with you, I believe it was Sunday night, about the Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. It's really where God set up the throne. God's throne of Israel and really the capital of Israel, again, in which it is today, Jerusalem. And really, it's going to be the capital of the entire world, where Jesus will one day sit on the throne eternally. And so he entered into this city. The Bible talks about it. So you think about that word. It was a huge crowd there. And Jesus always attracted the crowd. And so, again, that really let it be our desire as well, because many were touched by Christ. Some came to just see, some came to receive, some came to find fault. There's different ones in the crowd, perhaps some different ones in the crowd tonight. But whoever you may be, there's no denying that he is Lord and Savior. But anyway, the word Hosanna, if you look at it, H-O-S-A-N-N-A, and it's really broken down in the English language. We break it down. It's really in their language, the Hebrew. It was broken down in two places. Hosan and Na. Hosan and then Na, which is Hosan means save. Save. And so Na was an emphasis on it. So save. They were crying out, save, 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 save us, save us. Now, and really it was a plea, a heartfelt plea to be saved. And you know what? Again, our prayer is that this will begin to sweep through the land once again. A heartfelt plea to cry out to God and ask for salvation. Ask for salvation. And so Hosanna means save us now, or save us, please. Some other translators say, and it was really a mixture of praise and a cry for help. It was a mixture of praise and a cry for help. I'm reminded of the blind man who cried out about a man. He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Why? Because again, giving adoration, knowing and acknowledging him as from the lineage of King David, but also again, for him to come and help. We need God's help tonight. We need God's help every single day. Our land is in need of God's help. Israel, as we speak right now, is in need of God's help. Things are beginning to escalate there, and really in our country as well, and all around the world. Again, the need to be saved, the need for salvation. And again, that need will never, ever, ever end until all men are saved. And so if you think about it, it's even far greater than natural food, far greater than water and shelter and food. Again, the main priority on the list is salvation. Get saved, amen. Get saved, give your life to Christ. Your next breath, we could easily drift off into eternity. And so it's important for you to be saved. So let that be operating. Like, Hosanna, save us now. Save us now. And so we prayed for the unsaved tonight, that you would get saved and give your life over to Christ. And so the crowd was shouting out, save us now, save us now, bring salvation, they cried out. As we're gonna look at here in a minute, the King of Israel is what they wanted, the King of Israel. And really, it really was a declaration of that, declaration of acknowledging him as the Son of Almighty God and the Son of David. But not all. And some were doing it in the natural. In the natural, they were looking to leave the oppression of the Roman Empire as well. And they really wanted him to come in and really take the throne and really a move, and really a military type move and all these different things. As we read about Peter, he pulled out the swords, ready to fight. He says, no, it's not time for that type of fight. But you just begin to see they was yearning because they were tired of the oppression. They were tired of the cruelty of the Roman Empire and really the hard dictatorship. And really, it's still a similar cry today. And Jesus is able to set the Son free. The only he set free, he's free indeed. It's men and women, sons and daughters of all walks of life. Jesus can release you and set you free. Let him become your king. Whether even you're in an oppressive state or not, God is able to save and deliver you from the clutches of sin. And so really they were asking for them to be delivered in their country. But there was a deeper meaning to it. The need for salvation, the soul of mankind. Let's look at this. Let's go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, we'll look at as well. And it's really tied to the scripture concerning this cry of Hosanna. Hosanna, the cry of it all. Let's look at it. The Bible says, save now. Go back to where I say, Hosanna, save now. Save now. You could have replaced that word with Hosanna again. So save now. The Bible says, I beseech thee, O Lord. I beseech thee. He says, send now prosperity, the riches of salvation. Again, to be released, he says, number 26, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is going to sound familiar to you in a second here. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord, the name Jehovah. Blessed is that one who's coming in the name, coming from the kingdom of Jehovah. The Bible says, we have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. And so let's jump, let's go to Matthew 21:9. 21:9. through 11. So in the Gospels, you read about this same, some, oh, not all, sometimes some stories in the Bible, the four Gospels, I should say, don't all, the authors don't all tell every detail. But in this particular case, this occurrence or this event showed up every time. In the four Gospels, the harmony of the Gospels, sometimes we call it the harmony of the Gospels, the four Gospels. I shared with you before about the four Gospels is almost like four different TV channels. Loosely saying that, you think about it, each one has telling the same story, but from a different angle. And naturally, this was from the right angle, from the right angle, not with some agenda or not with some slant to it, their own slant, but this is from the Word of God. And some naturally wrote deeper details about it, and others did not. The Bible says in Matthew 21:9, the Bible says, and the multitudes that went before, that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. So naturally, that is acknowledged. When they say the Son of David, whenever you see that, they're acknowledging his lineage to the throne. His lineage to the throne. Again, his heirness to the throne. And the Bible says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So there again, we can share with you in Psalm 118, the same thing. So they're repeating a psalm, the psalmist, which was written hundreds of years before this. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He says, Hosanna in the highest. They're giving him the highest praise, the highest honor, and he deserves it all. He deserves all the glory, brothers and sisters. And really, our prayers is that men and women, when you come to Christ, really, you're giving God the highest of all glory, because you're acknowledging, we may go into this weekend, you're acknowledging that you need a Savior. That's some of the highest honor. I can do nothing without him. That is true honor. That he's solely dependent on you. Glory in the highest. You're the highest of all. The Bible talks about he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And so we strongly encourage you to do it now. Do it now through the plan of salvation. The Bible says in verse 10, he says, when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. So this is what we call his triumphant entry. He had done so much throughout the region. His word and his fame had spread, and the people and the city was stirred up. God help us stir this city up. And wherever you may be watching this video, to stir up your surroundings. God help us stir our surroundings. Stir up people around us. Wherever you may be, wherever you may go, on your job or in the neighborhood or in your home, stir up. You may have a house full of unsaved people in your home. Just stir them up to where people are moved to where they see God in you. They see Christ, and they want to draw to Jesus. Let our lives be as lights to where we draw men to our Savior. Amen. So the Bible says they were moved. The city was moved, saying, who is this? Who is this? Why are you so happy? Why are you smile? Why is it joy? Why are you so blessed? Who is? And you begin to say, I'm the one I know. Well, who do you know? The one I'm related to. My Father up in heaven is rich. My Father up in heaven is powerful. He's awesome. He supplies by every need. So who is this? They want to know. The Bible says in verse 11, he says, the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. They call him the prophet here in this particular case. Naturally, some in the crowd would say, no, he's more than a prophet. He's more than a prophet. No doubt, Peter would have told him, he said, no, he's the Son of Almighty God. He's the Christ, the Rock of Ages. Let's go to Mark 11 as well. I'm going to show you the parallels before we go into some more here. The meaning of Hosanna. Meaning of Hosanna. So highest praise, save us. They would cry out, Hosanna, save us. Let's look at the next parallel. Mark 11, the Bible says they brought the colt to Jesus. So again, it was prophesied. We'll share that in a minute. But it was foretold that Jesus would come riding on a colt. Some call it a donkey. And you know what? Really, one of the lowest. He didn't come in on a chariot with gold rims. He didn't come in on some great pedestal with a marching band. The people praised him. That's all he needed. But people praised him, coming in lowly,
on this colt, the Bible says. And the Bible says here, and they cast their garments on him. And the Bible says he sat upon him, and many spread their garments in the way. In other words, they laid it out like a red carpet entry. And remember, this is more of some old fashioned stuff here. I take you way back. So if a woman, your wife, she was a puddle on the ground, you're supposed to take your jacket off and lay it over the puddle so she wouldn't get wet. You may not heard it. I'm gonna get in trouble in a minute. My wife will say, "You never did that for me." But just think about why. Well, the purpose of that was to do what? To do what? So where she wouldn't touch the ground. And so naturally, when a bride, think about a bride. When the bride comes down the aisle, they roll out the the runner. They roll it out. Why? So they lay out pedestals that really, the entryway, grand entrance. And so Jesus, they did the same thing for Jesus. They laid the garments down. The Bible says that, and others cut down branches. That's where we get Palm Sunday from. There were palm trees all throughout, and they began to cut down these trees and laid them on the ground. And some waved them in triumph. I can share with you before about pom-poms. Pom-pom is spelled different. The cheerleaders hold pom-poms. And really, it's called a pom-pom tree, a species of the palm tree. And they wave them, they be shaking them and laying them down. And so they lay down these palms, and the Bible says, and straw them in the way. In other words, made a pave the road with these things. The Bible says, and they that went before, they that followed, cried, there they were again, Hosanna. What does that mean again? Save us. Save us. Save us now. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so they begin to acknowledge who he was. His authority, his power. He was a man of God. They saw that. The Bible says in verse 10, blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Save us in the highest. In other words, the highest realm of salvation is here. Luke 19 is what I was going to open with, but we're just going in order of the Gospels now. But Luke 19, 29 through 40. Again, many of the Gospels I've shared before, Luke goes into a lot of details throughout his entire life. Some grab bits and pieces, but Luke sometimes goes into stories and not just a few verses. He goes into a lot of verses. And for this particular case, it's 11 verses. Let's look at it. The Bible says, it came to pass when he was come to nigh to Bethphage. The other day, I was listening to, I believe it was Reverend Kinsley say it, and he read this same name. And and I had to do a double take. He said, Bethphage. And I was like, all this time I've been saying Bethpage. There's a Bethpage out here in Long Island and in New York City, but it's Bethphage. And so the Bible says he came out of Bethphage. And you know what the name, I looked up the name of that. The name of it means ripe figs, unripe figs. You know what? Again, God wants to touch your heart. Perhaps you're not saying, I'm not ready to get saved. Today's your day to get saved. Let the seed of salvation come into your heart and grow and blossom and turn into fruitfulness in your life. They came into Bethphage, and the Bible says Bethany as well. He says, and the mount called the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples. So again, this is during the story. This is really the backstory of it. He sent two disciples his way. Are we disciples in that? Are we available for Christ? Two of his disciples were there and they said, hey, I need you to go in there to the town. And this is what he says, saying, go ye into the village over against you. He says, in which at your entering, ye shall find a colt tied. He says, whereon yet never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. So this colt was specially set aside for Jesus. Nobody ever sat on this colt before. C-O-L-T. The Bible says, 31, and he says, and if any man asks you, why do you loose him? He says, thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. You can take that message right there and run with it. God has need of all of us. There's a purpose. We shared with you a few weeks ago about an extraordinary purpose. There's an extraordinary purpose that God created. Amen. And everything has a purpose, has a plan, everything under the sun. You go back and read Ecclesiastes. And this quote here had a purpose. He was born. Or he or she was born, whatever. They don't say the species of it, the gender of it. But you think about it, it had a purpose. And you know what? Regardless of who we are, God has a purpose for your life. And he has need of us. And so back to what we shared with you Sunday morning, the message is about the cost of you and I. The cost is you and I. The cost is you and I. It's going to cost us. Jesus already paid the price, but we're going to have to be willing to fulfill the purpose in which God has for. We have to be willing to give ourselves over to him. And so the Lord has need of us, each of us. And if you're watching this video tonight, God has a perfect plan for your life. He wants to use your mouth and your hands and your feet, your head, as we covered this weekend. God has a purpose and a plan for each of us, for his kingdom, for his glory, for the church. You begin to say, God, what can I do to help the church? What can I do to be a part of the church? What can I do for the glory of God? Back to what we say, it starts even in your own home. Reaching out to your family members. Reaching out, again, on the bus stop, on the train, wherever you go, in the job, letting your light shine. Jesus wants as many to be saved. Hosanna means save us, save us. He wants all men to cry that same cry. Save us, save us. Hosanna, save us. Let's move on. The Bible says the Lord had need of 35. He says, and they brought him to Jesus. Verse 35. And the Bible says they brought him to Jesus. We had Luke 19:35. Luke 19:35. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the coat. So there's again, they even didn't want him to sit on. So again, perhaps a makeshift saddle. The Bible says, and they set Jesus thereon. He says, and as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. They begin to, there it is again. So it's a repetition. First time I read the Bible, I was from especially the Gospels, I was like, it's repeating this. I just read this. But it was repeating himself. So again, not exactly the same words, the same phraseology. But you know what? I was telling the same story, the harmony of the Gospels, back to what we said. And so the Bible says they laid their coats in the way. They spread it out. Verse 37. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. Oh, they began to rejoice and cheer on Jesus because he was winning. The devil's kingdom of darkness was being defeated. Sicknesses were being healed. Lives were being changed. Hope was being restored. Amen. God was winning. And when your team is winning, man, you rejoice. You get excited. You get loud. And the people begin to get loud and excited. And we should be excited because we serve a winning Jesus tonight. Amen. The Bible goes on and says, saying 38, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees, verse 39, some of the religious crowd got upset. They began to get upset. He says, for among the multitude, and said unto them, Master, rebuke the disciples. Get on them people. Don't you realize what your disciples are saying? The Bible says, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, in other words, if they to be quiet, the stones would immediately cry out. He said, if my disciples and the people don't rejoice, he said, the rocks would do it. I don't care if everybody stood there with their arms crossed. Sometimes people come to church that way with their arms crossed, observing and looking around. But you know what? He says, if they don't do it, the rocks would cry out. The pews would cry out. If God intends for that, the walls would cry out. Amen. And so we begin to see how he says the stones would cry out. The earth would shake. And it did many times. The stars would speak. The birds would begin to sing. The animals began, the donkey perhaps could have started singing a song, a hymn. If they didn't, he said, but the stones would cry out. Can you imagine the stone crying out? And we sang in the whole song about that. He says, I don't want a rock to take my place. Let me praise the Lord. Everything that have breath should praise the Lord. And cry out what? Cry out, Hosanna, save me. That's one of the greatest cries you could ever cry. The first cry, the greatest prayer you can ever pray, is to be saved. Don't delay. Don't wait. Let me give you the Gospel of John as well. The Gospel of John 12, 12:12 through 16. The Bible says, on the next day, much people were come to the feast. It says, and when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of the palm trees. Again, the palm trees, they took down these branches. And the Bible says, and he went forth to meet him and cried again, Hosanna. What's it mean again? Save us, with a great emphasis. Save us, help us, help us. Blessed be the King of Israel. They began to say, hey, that's the King of Israel. The King of Israel, they begin to declare it. And that's why really the Pharisees got upset. And really now the Roman government's starting to get a little shaky as well. You know, hold on, who's this king they talking about? We didn't have no election. Hey man, he was already crowned king many years ago, before the foundation of the earth. The Bible says here, that cometh in the name of the Lord. He says, and Jesus, when he had found the young ass, sat thereon, and it was written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on the ass colt, the ass's colt. He says, and there, these things understood not the disciples. I want to bring this point. I'm going to bring a home point about this. Number 16. These things did the disciples not see at first, or did they understand not at first? He says, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered. They remembered that these things were written of him. He says that they had done these things unto him. It was written where? Where was this written? It was written in the Old Testament. It was written in the Old Testament. And how do they remember? Because Jesus didn't write down anything. They weren't taking notes. Jesus, and you never really read Jesus say this yet. So it wasn't written down yet. But it was already foretold way back in the Old Testament. Let's look at it. Zechariah 9:9. So the Bible says his disciples didn't understand. They didn't understand. They didn't understand at first. Then they said, aha, ding, 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 ding. And you think about this. Why did they? Let's read it first. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly. This is the prophecy. Rejoice greatly. Get excited. Get excited. Rejoice. Praise the Lord. The crowd got excited. And it wasn't something stirred up. I mean, it wasn't something fake either. This was real. A real excitement. And so naturally, again, when you come to service, don't go through the motions. Let it be a real joy. That's what salvation does. It's a real joy. That's why some people come with their arms crossed and they can't raise their hands. They can't praise the Lord. Their mind is all over the place. Again, but there should be a rejoicing when you come to the house of the Lord. To focus on Jesus. Don't worry about nobody else. Don't worry about none of all these other things. Get a hold of God, the God of heaven. Rejoice. And again, I say what? Rejoice, what the scripture tells us. He said, rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. He says, behold, the king cometh unto thee. He says, he is just and having what? Salvation. Save us, Hosanna. Lowly, riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foil of an ass. So that prophecy was hundreds of years earlier. Zechariah prophesied about this very event. And so now the disciples, they didn't understand it first, but then they said, aha, this is what Zechariah was talking about. How did they even know about Zechariah's prophecy? Because in their day, it was in the culture for them. The part of the curriculum for school was to do what? To teach them the word of God, to teach them the Torah, to teach them the things of God, the things of Jehovah. We pray to God that it will come back again in our country. And even in some of the other countries we have, again, it was the norm. In some places, it's the norm. It's the norm to teach about God or teach about religion, but they kicked the Bible out. Here in the U.S., they kicked the Bible out. We don't want God. We can't teach about God. Some of the churches used to be the classroom. The church used to be the schoolhouse. So now they knew about this. The disciples remember because they were taught this as children. Parents, bring your children to children's church. Bring them to the house of the Lord. Teach them the Bible. Get them in the church. Get them to get a children's Bible. Read them the Bible. They need to know this. Disciples remember this. Oh yeah, we learned about that as youth, about Zechariah's prophecy. Now we've seen it unfold, really. And right before I, parents today, get your children in the house of the Lord. Bring them to the children's church. Bring them to the services. We need God. We got to get back to this, to where they'll understand when they're old, it won't depart from this. It would have been foreign to them. In our world today, Jesus is foreign to many now. The blood, Resurrection Sunday, Easter, what is that? When you talk about Easter, they think about the rabbit and chocolate and colored eggs. They don't have no clue about the resurrection. Why? It's not being taught anymore. It's very sad that we don't, you know, the schools don't shut down for Good Friday. We should. The weekend, Easter, it should be a 3-day weekend for Easter, if not 4-day weekend. But that's how we are. We celebrate everything else. But that's the real, real life-changing holiday, holy day. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But anyway, they knew this. And so I brought that up because, again, it was part of the culture, part of the curriculum. Part of the curriculum. And if it's not taught in your school, in your children's school, teach them at home. Read something to them. Give them something spiritual. Put on some Bible lessons or some Bible cartoons, something. Get something in their spirit. Get something in their minds to where they inquire to know about God. So the crowd shouted to bring us salvation. Bring us salvation. Christ, the King of Israel, that's what they wanted. They wanted Christ to be King of Israel. As you go back after Jesus was, even prior to Jesus being crucified, the disciples want to know, hey, are you coming to set up your kingdom now? Hey, is this what you're here to do? No, I can't do it right now. It's not the time. It's not the time. It will be. One day we look forward to that day. And so they wanted him to be king now. That's what they thought, but it wasn't time in for him to be king now. And remember how when he died on the cross, they were saying, if you're the Son of God, save yourself. You're the Son of God, you save others. Why come you can't save yourself, O king? They mocked the King of the Jews. They put the sign over his head. Why? Because they again, he was declared as king. Some king. Look at you. Behold your king. Remember that. We'll go over that coming up. Behold your king. Look at him. Look at your king now. Oh, but he's high and lifted up now. My king was able to die for my sins. He died for me. Other kings, people go die for the king. The king died for us. Amen. And got up out of the grave. And now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, reigning and ruling, is all powerful. Amen. I'm telling you, get saved, my friend. Get saved. Come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Come and get saved. Give your life. It's exciting knowing Jesus. It really is. It's exciting. Being saved. But anyway, I got to keep moving. I got to close out, guys. I'll be here all night. But the Christ, the King, they wanted. This is what it says in Matthew 1:8. It was prophesied to Mary, prophesied to them when he did come to the earth. When he did come as a baby, the Bible says, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Matthew 1:8. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Jesus is Savior as well. Matthew 1. It's not. Let me get it back then. And so the prophecy of Jesus, if you think about it, the prophecy of him, the Lord our God, being king, it was prophesied about him coming, being the Lord. 1:18. Sorry, I have my typo on my notes here. 1:18. Sorry about that. And so he says, they shall bring forth a son. She's going to bring forth this son, impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, which is Savior. Savior. He says, for he shall do what? Save. Save. What did he cry out? Save us. Save us. He was coming to save them from their sins. My friend, they cry out, Hosanna. Not just to be king, an earthly king, but to be king of your life, Lord and Savior of your life, Matthew 1:18. And the Bible says they cried out, save us. I'm sorry, 1:21. I'm over here giving you the wrong stuff. I'm looking at it, but I'm reading the wrong. I'm sorry about that. The Bible says, save us for, and they call it verse 21. It's a whole group, and I'm giving her one verse. The Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son. Bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name. There it is again, Jesus. We good now. for he shall save his people from their sins. From their sins. And so let that be known. How do I get saved? How do I get saved? Let's go to Romans as we close up. Romans 10, 8. 10, 8. Romans 10, 8. The Bible says here, he says, but what saith it? The word is nigh even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is that the word of faith, which we preach. Number 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And they would cry out, save us, save us, save us. That's the key to salvation right there. They would have to believe it, profess him as Lord, repent of their sins, and he was able to save. This is the rest of them. Verse 10. He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But your lips, you have to say it. I can pray with you, but you got to pray that prayer. Lord, save me. I want to be saved. The greatest prayer you can ever pray. Number 10, 11. Let's look verse 11. Romans 10, 11 tells us this. He says, the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. You think about it, not being ashamed. Walking around with the shame of sin. The shame of sin and guilt hanging over your life. And the Bible says here, he says, the shame and guilt will be removed because he came to save you. It's a shame if you're not saved. And really, you should be ashamed of yourself if you're not saved. You should be ashamed of yourself if you're not saved tonight. And so we look at this, how the Lord, he's able to save the lost, save you and I. Verse 12 tells this, Romans 10, 12. He says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Let's read it again. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. And verse 13 as we finish. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These people are crying out, Hosanna. What does it mean, Hosanna? Hosanna, save us, save us. Let that be your prayer, our prayer. I thank God one day we made that our prayer to call on Jesus. They were crying out to Jesus, save us, save us. Some were crying out for the natural earthly king. Some were crying out for the eternal, eternal life, salvation. But the one who could come after his death, burial, and resurrection. And he did that and many believed. Many believed and are saved. Many believed and became sons of God. Many gave their lives over to Jesus. I mean, my friend today, the Bible says, well, his will is not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to know him as Lord and their Savior. Let that be your prayer. Hosanna, save us now. If you're not saved tonight, simply, as we said before, again, confess your sins and really, profess him as Lord and Savior of your life. Say, God, I want to be saved. God, I need to be saved. Forgive me. And believe what he did on the cross for you. Believe that he is the Son of God. Acknowledge him as Son of God. Acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Acknowledge him as the one, the crucified one that was died and went to hell for you and I. Got up on the third day and rose again with all power and victory in his hand. And say, Lord, come into my heart. Cleanse me. Make me whole. Wash me. God, I want to be saved. And you can be. You will be. Because no doubt he will immediately save you. And that's just a changing of the life. It's not just saying those words, but it's a lifestyle that comes with it because you're doing it from your heart. You're doing it from your heart because those that asked for salvation earlier in the crowd, you're going to find out a week later they were saying crucify, crucify, crucify. So it must be from the heart. And when it's from the heart, man, it's a change in your life to where you love Jesus. You'll love him and you'll serve him. And you're willing to do whatever you can for him or what he's done for you. God bless that prayer. We look forward to seeing you Thursday night. Come out, bring a friend, Bring your loved ones. Start making plans to be with us on Thursday nights. Let's make Thursday nights a special night. A special night of worship. Amen. To shake off the part of the week. Amen. And prepare you for the weekend. Amen. It's a blessed time. Sometimes you can't come to services on the weekends. Some work on the weekends. So come on Thursday nights. Come be a part of the services. Come be a part. Come worship with us. Amen. Be a part and come and lift up the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you, he will supply you everything. God will bless you because you make an extra effort to come. You make an extra effort out of your schedule. You start putting that on your calendar today. Say, you know what? This night is set aside for me to be in service on Thursday night. It's set aside for me to come and worship God. Nothing else matters. I'm going to the house of the Lord on my Thursday nights. Where's Brother So-and-so? Oh, he's at church. It's Thursday night. Where's Sister So-and-so? Oh, that's Thursday night. She's in church. That's where you're going to find her. Amen. And so you know what? Again, we have services and various things for you to come be a part. So we want you to be a part. Come get a chance to meet you face-to-face and worship with. It's nothing like worshiping together in the house of the Lord. So we look forward to seeing you at 334 Astor Street this Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. Come ready to call on and believe in the Almighty God. My friend today, if you prayed the prayer of salvation, welcome to the family of God. My friend, if you have yet to do so, do it now. Do it now while there's still time. While you still have breath in your body, give him your life. God bless you. We'll see you soon.